Hello, everybody, and welcome to the DustDoorProds.com Movies and Television Podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today we are brought to you by $6 shirts. Crazy shirts for crazy cheap. You'll not be able to find any like this anywhere else on the internet. They have really fantastic shirts, only $6 each, and if you buy 10 or more, you get $10 off your total order. So you can get 10 shirts for only $50, which is a steal. So please, click link at the bottom of the page or any of the banners of the site and go check out $6shirts.com. $6 shirts. Crazy t-shirts, only $6. While our t-shirts are not $6, they're still reasonably priced. And you don't have to pay to change the color of them. Fuck you, Zazzle. So please, head over to DustDoorProds.com/store and check out some of our stuff. As always, we are constantly accepting new design ideas and art and such if you have it. And if you do have it, please don't hesitate to send it to bovion@deathstoreprods.com or post them in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. If you submit some art and we use it, we'll be able to pay you based on all the products are put on sale. If you have a design idea, well, we'd love to hear from you. Unfortunately, we can't pay you if we use it. We'll be able to credit you, but we won't be able to pay you. Sorry, it's business stuffs. Also, we are doing Extra Life again this year. For those who don't know, Extra Life is an annual charity event. This year, it'll be running on November 2nd from 8 a.m. to 8 a.m., and it is a 24-hour gaming marathon to raise money for the Children's Miracle Network hospitals in our area. This year, Desktop Prods will be playing for the Sick Kids Foundation in Toronto. So please, if you have the money to donate or if you want to help people, please go to DesktopProds.com/extra-life. That is DesktopProds.com/extra-life and donate. If you can't donate but still want to help, please join the team and help us fundraise. Any amount of help you guys can give will be much appreciated. All proceeds donated go directly to Sick Kids Foundation or whatever other hospital that we end up supporting, because we could support individually as a team. I think it's a whole system. Anyway, yeah, all proceeds donated go directly to the hospital, and all donations are tax deductible. So if you're into that, woo. So yeah, again, that is dustdoorprods.com/extra-life. There's a big picture in the footer on every page, so just click that and take it right to it. So please donate or join the team, help us fundraise. I'm your host, Deadman. Joined today, as always, we have Bovy on.
Hello.
Yeah, so I have one thing to talk about .
Well, Anime North did just happen, so we're both bound to be a little bit low.
Oh, yeah. Like, you may have noticed that in terms of content stuff, we haven't been putting a lot up recently. We're still getting back into the swing of things.
Hence, we are recording a movies podcast on Saturday.
Yeah. It's amazing how easy it is to fall out of form when you've been away for 3 days.
Well, there's the away for 3 days, but I've been working on, like, aftermath stuff for, like, all week.
Yeah, I've been trying to get my cat to not kill me, which is a work in progress, and it is progressing. You'll hear more about that on Sunday. So anyway, yeah, we're back, and I have one thing to talk about, and it is shit.
Yay, I love talking about terrible things. Let's hear it.
Yeah, so, it's Smallville before Smallville.
What?
There was a predecessor to Smallville.
Why?
Because television. You see, here's the thing. Going into it, I had no idea this was any kind of predecessor to, like, fucking Smallville. And when I say predecessor, I mean a spiritual predecessor.
Right, so it wasn't actually, like, before Clark Kent was Clark Kent.
Yeah, this isn't the...
He was a baby in a space pod.
Yeah, this isn't the fucking, like, bullshit melodramatic relationship drama of a baby on Krypton. Despite the fact that probably way more interesting than fucking Smallville.
I was gonna say baby in the space pod. Like, they could manage an entire show of just a fucking baby in a space pod.
They probably could. And it'd probably be still way more interesting than fucking just have, like, the space pod flying through space and just, like, in the background. Like, we don't ever zoom in on it, we just in the background we see interesting things happening. but a lot of the show was just ...45 minutes of watching a baby or a fucking spaceship with a baby in it go from the right side of your screen to the left. But then, for the season finale, it goes from the left to the right! I know, dude, it'll blow people's minds. But yeah, so Roswell is a terrible, 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 terrible show.
I heard about this show. I never saw it, but I had heard about it.
Yeah, I had not. It was around the time when this show was coming out. I did not have the TV network that this show came out on, I believe. Or it was around this point that I was like pretty much watching nothing but like YTV. Which, I guess for Americans who don't have YTV, I was basically watching like Nickelodeon cartoons imported to Canada. That was pretty much all I was watching. But, yeah, so for those who don't know, in the town of Roswell, New Mexico, alien stuff happens.
Well, people say it happens, but...
Yeah, people say it happens.
Or are you talking about the premise of the show?
In the show, alien stuff happens.
Wow, because that's original.
Yeah, like in the thing, it was like, so at some point, like in the 1956 crash, like thing crashed, but then... Like, there were also dudes in stasis. So then wake up, and then three kids came out. They were all kids, like, roughly, like, 5 or 6 years of age or something. And so they've been in cryostasis the entire time, but then, like, 16 years prior, like, the 10 years prior to the TV show, they are released. And then they get found in the desert, walking around buck naked. Because, you know, naked children. Only on
the WB.
Good
television.
Yeah. Yeah, and so they get found, picked up, and then are basically adopted and raised and stuff. And then they just go on with their normal lives. But then, oh shit, they're aliens. With superpowers, kind of.
Well, I can see how this is totally a spiritual predecessor to Smallville. They basically tried to make Superman's origin story without stepping on any trademarks.
Yeah, but here's the thing. There are three of them. There are three Supermen, and their powers are bullshit. Like, seriously, they are. So, we have one guy who actually looks a lot like the guy that got to play Superman. And his power, from what I understand, is some kind of healing thing that leaves a giant silver burn mark on your body that can also kill you. And he's also kind of psychic. And he's also kind of psychic. And then we have Katherine Heigl. Because, you know, she was in TV, I guess. And yeah, so her power is she can play a CD with her ear.
That is a bullshit power. What the fuck are you going to use that for?
I don't know. Distracting the enemy so that someone with more interesting power can come along and attack you.
Why does an alien have that power?
Why do the aliens
have... At what point in your evolutionary cycle does your genetic code just go, you know, I could really use to play a CD with my ear.
At what point will they have invented CDs? Like, seriously, they're an advanced alien race from a different planet. So presumably they have more advanced technology, and presumably they may not have the elements required to actually make CDs. Like, seriously, it's things like this, where they have incredibly planet-specific powers. Like, planet-specific or species-specific powers. Like,
I mean, at least for Superman, that makes sense, because his fucking powers are from the yellow sun of Earth.
Yeah, and, like, it's not even just... And with Superman, the reason why I'm not that pissed off about it with Superman is because his powers change depending on what star he's around. If he's around a red star, he loses his powers. If he's around a blue star, he gets, like, 5 times more powerful. It's about light. He gets his powers from light. He's basically a plant.
But Plant Man sounded really stupid, so...
And they already had Swamp Thing.
When Superman was created, did they already have Swamp Thing?
Actually, no. I think Superman was actually Superman was, like, one of the first ones. And I'm pretty sure that at that point, they didn't actually say that, like, his powers was from light. They just said, hey, he's on Earth. He has powers. Because of gravity. It was like a John Carpenter. It was like
gravity.
A John Carpenter Mars thing. You're like Superman, he couldn't actually fly when he first started out. He just jumped.
Yeah, he could leap over tall buildings in a single bound.
Yeah, that was like a literal thing. It wasn't like some coy way of saying he could fly. He just jumped everywhere. They're actually comics of just seeing him just jumping through the streets, like fucking Inspector Gadget. That would have been way more interesting if Superman was Inspector Gadget. Or if Inspector Gadget was
Superman. Yellow Sun of Earth gives him a ton of useless technology.
Yeah, and it also summons a like 12-year-old girl with blonde hair who's way smarter than him in every single way. Make it happen, Joel Schuster. I know you could do it. That's that guy's name. I don't fucking care. Moving on from my terrible jokes. And then there's, so, yeah, back on topic. So we have the two, so we have two of the first kids. They're brother and sister. That is the healing psychic one and the ear CD player. And then we have the third one. He's the third one. Oddly enough, he's also from Bones. He played Booth's brother.
Okay, and how exactly do you mean the third one?
Well, I only watched like the first three episodes of the show because that's all I could watch without trying to like find a drill bit big enough to fit through my ear.
She's a CD, man.
But yeah, so he was just kind of there. Like he's not exactly tied in any real way to the main group. He's not entirely important. I don't even know what the fuck his power is. He's just kind of there. He's there to cause problems. He's there to make sure episodes happen. And
so he's a plot. He's the third child of the plot.
Basically. And the only thing, the only good thing I'll say about the show is, and it's not even a good thing. It's something that I find kind of infuriating, but also kind of hilarious. So the reason that these three kids are trying their, these people are like 16, 17 at this point. Or at least they physically look that, or at least they physically look that in the world of the show. In real life, they're probably like in their 20s. Because, you know, it's right. TV. But so the reason they're like hiding their existence from everyone is because they believe government officials killed their entire race, like everyone that was on the ship with them, and that if they are revealed, then the government will come and take them away. But here's the thing. They have no proof of this whatsoever.
I was about to ask if there was a basis for their accusations.
There is not. Like, we as the audience understand there's a basis because we see some things happening that these kids don't, but these kids, they have no idea. Like, that's even a point of the show. It's like if anyone finds out about this, come and get us. It's like, who? Who are they? We don't know who they are. We don't even know if there is a they. And the thing is, what happened to our people? It's like, maybe they just fucking left. It is just the most insane fucking conspiracy theorist bullshit coming from the people, coming from the thing that people make conspiracy theories around. It is infuriating. Yeah, it is infuriating in the fact they are fucking idiots through all of this for not even like trying. They're like, I'm pretty sure at one point they were like considering killing someone when they found out. Or like skipping town or something, like abandoning their families who raised them and stuff because, you know, fuck emotional connections. But then on the other hand, like I find it absolutely hilarious because just this is the equivalent of just some guy in a trench coat standing on the street saying, "The government's putting radon in your water, man." Only from aliens. But if they had just made the show this. It had to make the show these kids trying to just be normal, but failing at it horribly, and then think the government's going to come get them, but the government doesn't give a fuck. That could have been pretty cool. Just this is fucking asshole kids, like, look like they're fucking strung out on drugs or, like, sleep deprivation, just trying to, like, figure out where the government's, like, trying to figure out, like, where the government put the tracking device up their anus. But instead, we get Smallville.
Huh.
And that there is potential for something kind of interesting with powers and stuff. But instead, it is melodramatic, semi-romantic bullshit. And it pains me.
I can see why it would.
Like,
I mean,
most
you
of
actually watched all of Smallville, so that had to open up old wounds for you.
Yeah, it really did. Like, the second I heard the opening theme, I was just like, no. No, fuck you, fuck all of this. And it really sucks because I was watching this on Netflix, and so I jumped into an episode like in season 5, And so that episode started out with like two people with like fucking balaclavas on running into a gas station, fucking like using one of their weird alien powers to like saw open the back wall of a place with their hand to reveal a giant flying saucer behind this gas station, then sealing it back up with that same hand, and then they get arrested. And I was like, okay, this could be kind of cool. I was like, wait, what episode are we on? I was like, fuck. And then they start playing the opening theme, and I was like, oh, god damn it. Because it's some bullshit whiny pop song for the opening theme.
There's nothing worse than a bullshit whiny pop song as the opening theme.
Yeah, it's... It also sounded really 90s. Like, I can't put my finger on why, but it sounded insanely 90s. But yeah, so then I actually went back and watched the first episode. And again, it started out relatively promising. With some girl in a diner just hanging out, and then some other kids are there. And then some guys get into a fight, and a gunshot goes off and shoots the girl in the stomach.
Sweet.
Yeah, and so then the third one says, hey, let's get the fuck out of Dodge and leave her to die. But then the other guy's like, no, I want to save her. So he goes over, does the whole, like, hand-burned heal thing. Heals her up. Then just grabs a fucking ketchup bottle, throws it on her, says, you got covered in ketchup. Now fuck off. Never tell anyone what you saw again. And then they run the fuck away. And of course there are
ketchup?
Yeah, ketchup. Because, you know, police, even in small towns, police, they cannot tell the difference between ketchup and blood. And that bullet hole in your dress, that bullet hole in your fucking waitress's uniform, I don't know, ketchup. Ketchup can be very dangerous if you don't use it right. And so, and in the first episode, we have... So here are the plot threads that I've been able to understand for the first episode. We have the romantic subplot. They have the main romantic plot between main alien guy and main boring girl person. We have the whole thing with like the government spooks who aren't really government spooks. They're just kind of there. And then we also have some backstory with the sheriff of the town whose dad was like ridiculed and thrown out of the FBI for believing in aliens. Now he's trying to like prove that aliens exist. And then we have these two other fucking assholes who are like those really insane UFO hunters. Like the ones who believe they understand everything about the universe because they once watched an episode of Star Trek.
Ah, them.
Yes, them. Which is something else that just really bugs me about movies and TV, which I don't even want to get into right now. Because it... Never mind. Just fuck it. Fuck it. Fuck it. And all this bullshit's happening in the first episode, and then we just move on like nothing fucking happened. Then we, like, these characters are just, like, gone. And I don't know if they'll be brought back later. I don't even care. The show is just bad. It's just bad, 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 melodramatic, whiny teen bullshit. We should be having, like, awesome adventures with fucking superpowered aliens and shit. Less Smallville, more yeah. Ben 10.
Yeah, fucking Ben 10.
Yeah, that is the shit, man. That is like teenage alien shit at its finest, even though Ultimate Alien was kind of shit, and Omniverse looks so shit.
Oh, Omniverse looks terrible.
Looks like Ben got like can't look at Ben got like a horrible face tumors everywhere. Everyone looks horrible. What happened to you, Man of Action? It used to be cool. Anyway. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. So in closing, Ben 10 is awesome. Watch the original series and like the first two seasons of Alien Force. Because after that, everything just kind of goes to shit. And also just please ignore continuity errors. They don't bother explaining them. They don't care. You'll be a lot happier when you stop caring too. Trust me. I know. So anyway, Bobby, what have you been watching?
Alright, well, I only really have one thing to talk about, but it's something I can always talk about at length. Doctor Who.
Ah, yes.
So let's talk about the two episodes I watched recently.
And what were they?
Both from season 7, Hyde and Journey to the Center of the TARDIS.
Sorry about that.
So yes, I am still a little bit behind on Doctor Who, but I'm getting caught up.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, let's start with...
And you're already understanding that this season is incredibly mediocre.
Oh, it has been from the very start. Like, I never expected anything big from season 7. I expected a lot of and a lot of, God damn it, Moffat.
Yeah.
And I've been getting plenty of both.
Yeah, and it's been weird. I've been getting, like, I saw, like, a continuity hiccup, like, with Journey to the Center of the TARDIS. I saw, like, continuity hiccup with the movie. Like, we'll get to that.
Yeah, the whole Eye of Harmony thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so but the Eye of Harmony gets used in, the Eye of Harmony, funny enough, gets used in Hyde as well.
Yeah, which is weird. Like, this is a piece of the Eye of Harmony, but then the Eye of Harmony is actually a star.
Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense between one episode and the next fucking episode.
Yeah.
You ruined the Eye of Harmony twice.
Yeah, and the Eye of Harmony wasn't that well thought out a concept to begin with.
No, it's a concept that never should have come back. Also, yeah. I guess I gotta save that rant for Journey to the Center of the TARDIS. Hyde, it's... Eh.
Yeah.
The Ghostbusters line made me want to vomit, though.
Yeah.
God damn it, Oswin. You can say and do clever things with this character. Ghostbusters. What the fuck were you thinking?
She was thinking, hey, kids, you remember Ghostbusters? That's popular, right? Please like us. I know we're not going to Sherlock.
It's not like she writes her own scripts.
Yeah, it's just... She could have been something cool. Like Clara Oswald and Oswald, or whatever the fuck her name is, she could have been something cool. But instead, it's what
lame.
We got. Yeah, it's Ghostbusters jokes and really bullshit fucking idiotic excuses for what she actually is.
Oh, and her not trusting the doctor.
Yep, because, you know...
Anyways, yeah, Hyde. Ghosts, kind of.
It's the ghostesses.
Oh, right. The one thing I have not liked in the past two episodes is they have always found a way to very directly rip something off. It's going to take me a couple of minutes to remember what it was for Journey to the Center of the TARDIS, and I will apologize to you as I'm trying to remember that. But there was something there. But... In Hyde, they directly ripped off The Haunting. And I'm talking about the original Haunting.
Okay, I have not seen that, so please elaborate.
There's a scene where they're being chased by some sort of ghostly apparition, and then Clara says, Doctor, you don't have to hold my hand quite so tight. And the doctor's like, I'm not holding your hand. If you take his goofiness out of that, you have... one of the most iconic scenes from The Haunting.
Well, yeah, like the whose hand was I holding one?
Yeah. Except, you know, actually, even The Haunting doesn't do it that over the top. Like the original. The remake does that scene way over the top because it's like, this was an iconic scene, remember? La 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 la.
From what I remember of like the Nostalgia Critics remake of the like review of the remake, they didn't even do that scene. It was just kind of, it's kind of like, oh my god, something's happening. Who is holding my hand?
Yeah, no, but in the original, it's like, you don't have to hold my hand so tight. I'm not holding your hand. It's exactly how it goes. And then there's this awesome, like, practical effects scene where there's this hand punching through a door that's actually rubber, so the door's bending. It's really cool because it's, you know, back in the days of practical effects, but
yeah,
off that tangent.
Yes. Yeah, like, just a thing with Hyde. It could have been something cool. Like, that's the thing with a lot of these episodes that I've been watching, like, with this season of Doctor Who. They're things that could have been cool. Like, you know, that whole thing with, like, everything that was going on, like, the weird, like, ghost thing, that could have been fine. That could have made a great episode. Or at least a somewhat decent episode. But then they started, like, fucking up their own continuity in the episode. Like, they said, oh, hey, the TARDIS can't go in this universe for, like, more than 4 seconds or it'll, like, explode or something.
And except two scenes, it does.
Yeah, then they show two scenes of the TARDIS going in there and, like, surviving for, like, 17 seconds each time.
Yep.
And then they also turn into
And then, of course, there's... Yeah, there's the monster love story, which is... I swear, they're trying to turn Doctor Who into a kid's show.
Yeah, it came right the balls out of nowhere.
Like, nobody dies anymore.
Yeah.
Nothing has any weight to it. Back in the early days of Doctor Who, like, yeah, people died, and it was sad. And there was weight to the Doctor's actions or inactions. And it especially makes it bad now that they try and sell us things like him wanting to kill the villains so that he can save lives, when it's so rare that people actually die now.
Yeah. And there's actually, like, this happens later on in the series from where you are, but there's actually one scene where there is literally billions upon billions of people dying. And it means nothing.
Well, they already did that in The Power of Three. People were dying all over Earth, and then just Sonic back to life, la 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 la.
Yeah, this is even less impactful than that.
Here's the thing about the Power of Three one, though. They don't even show the people coming back to life. It's just like, I did it.
Yeah, like in this one, it's not even anything. It's just someone look at the sky and say, oh, hey, they're alive. Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, I feel everything has a lot less weight to it, and it is. Like, they are dumbing it down to a child's level.
Yeah. Everything started getting really stupid with this series.
Yeah, I have some hope that Moffat will change his ways for series 8. There's a reason he's going to have to do it. See, the reason he's currently getting away with the way he writes is a lot of the current fans and newer fans aren't there for the same writing that made others fans. Like, when I became a fan, it was for Christopher Eccleston.
Mm.
I became a fan of the writing. I became a fan of the stories because the effects were bad and the Doctor wasn't hot.
Mm.
But now there's all these fans who are only fans because the Doctor is hot.
Yeah.
Seriously, I have had people say to me that they don't like watching Christopher Eccleston's season because he's not hot. Fuck
oh,
you, get out of my fandom.
Yeah, well, hey, with John Hurt coming.
That's the thing. Stephen Moffat's going to have to step up his game because the series is going to very heavily rely on writing again.
Yeah.
John Hurt, he's not very hot.
Yeah, and actually, just looking some stuff up. So he might not actually be the 12th Doctor. Like, the Doctor has 12 regenerations, right? So that means there are 13 Doctors in total?
Yes.
I believe he might be the 13th. Because, like, look at this thing. Mm. So on the Wikipedia page, there's a 12th Doctor. So it said, Matt Smith was announced on June 13th as stepping down from the role of the Doctor at the end of 2013. The casting of the 12th Doctor has yet to be announced.
Hmm.
So either this thing is just really outdated, or John Hurt is... Yeah, so either this thing is, like, really outdated, or John Hurt is the final incarnation.
Now, there was a thing on that episode that said introducing John Hurt as the Doctor, but did it say as which Doctor?
No, just the Doctor.
Okay, so he could be 13.
Yeah. Which I really hope they don't just do the thing where they where it's like introduce like the new guy as the doctor, but then put like that other guy in there so they can have one more season of a bunch of people coming to watch the show because he's hot.
Yeah, I hope they don't go for some. Well, just don't eye candy.
Yeah, please.
There are plenty of talented actors who could do a very good job as the Doctor who aren't attractive.
Yeah, and if you want John Hurt, you better do it soon, because like knowing how long some Doctors can last, John Hurt is 73.
You know what? I think in the new series, no one is going to go past 4 years.
Okay.
Because Matt Smith, he's had, what, 3? David Tennant had 3. Eccleston had 1.
1. Oh, poor Eccleston.
He chose to leave, so.
Okay. Well, yeah, anyway. Yeah, anyway, also, Jenna Louise Coleman's going to be coming back for season 8. With the 12th.
Of course she is.
Because, you know, she's hot.
Billy Piper did it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't dislike Osmond as a character, so they may as well keep her around. It's cool to have someone who's smarter than the Doctor, but then to have her just say stupid things.
Yeah, it's stupid things, and also to have her like learn really really like insane like groundbreaking plot reveals and then have them completely be erased, like in Journey to the Center of the TARDIS.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We've gone on a long tangent away from Hyde.
Yeah. Well, it's what we do, man.
It was the whole dumbing down thing that got us onto it, because the whole monster love story is stupid.
They never explain what that monster is, what it does, why it's there, anything. It's just, oh, hey, look, monster. Ooh.
How they got separated, why one can exist in the Pock universe and the other one can't, why the Pock universe hadn't already collapsed.
Yeah. Why the TARDIS was able to survive longer than they said it would.
What is the Eye of Harmony, and why can you take a shard of it, and why does it seem... Why can you touch the Eye of Harmony without the world exploding? You've suddenly taken away all the Eye of Harmony's power.
Yeah.
In the movie, if you open the Eye of Harmony...
Shit's fucked.
Death.
Like you only have a certain amount of hour. Like, you only have, like, a certain amount of time before, like, the world collapse. Like, the world, like, breaks apart or something.
The entire fabric of reality falls apart so you can walk through glass and shit.
Yeah, like the Eye of Harmony was open for like an hour and the Doctor was able to walk through a plane of glass. I can't believe we're arguing continuity errors with the movie.
Well, you know what? Moffat's the one who's like, I want to bring back everything that was old. But I don't want to bring back anything from the Tennant or Eccleston eras.
Yep.
Sorry, John Barrowman.
Oh, man. Yeah, John Barrowman, he was too busy getting stabbed through the chest on Arrow. Spoiler alert.
He was too busy being not invited.
Oh, man. I'm depressed now. So, Hyde.
Yeah, mostly that's all I have to say. Like, there's a lot of plot points that show up and then don't get used. Like, the Doctor circling that one cold spot.
He did that?
Yeah, he circled a specific cold spot. And then, like, it started steaming around it, and then it's never mentioned again.
Right, yeah, he did that. I completely forgot about that.
Here was my most fun moment, though. The Doctor is a couple feet from the portal that will take him back to our universe, away from the monster which is chasing him, and everything will be fine, but he stops to block the door by tying it shut with his bow tie. what the fuck was the point? You could have already been through that portal by now.
His bow ties are cool.
Keep it on. Go through the portal, have it close, express your feelings towards bow ties, tweak it, and walk off. Victorious.
That's the Dr. Cullen of dropping the mic. How many bow ties do you think he has?
Hold on. I gotta. Bow ties are cool.
That didn't play very well, since he dropped it on a soft surface, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I didn't want to break my mic.
That's why you need a secondary mic for dropping.
I would, but Starchild's got it. If I get that back, then I will have a dropping mic. I'll have a speaking mic and a dropping mic.
I could use one of those. Just to have around. Carry one with me at all times, just in case I need to drop the mic somewhere.
Oh, I have my shitty wireless ones for that.
Yes. Just take those with you everywhere you go. Then as soon as you say something awesome, just... Tong. What, bitch?
Why are you carrying a microphone? In case I need to drop it. What the fuck were we talking about?
Doctor Who! And how bow ties are cool. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the James episode, the DestroProds.com movies and television podcast.
Okay. Laughing is not good content, but anyways.
Jamesing so hard.
Yeah, I just feel like there was a lot of things thrown in there pointlessly that never really had much payoff or just stupidly lengthened the plot so they could fill an episode.
How much you want to bet that Ghostbusters line was just like an ad-lib thing by like Coleman, and it was originally going to be cut, but then they realized the episode was like 10 seconds too short, so they just threw it in there?
Yeah, probably. Because it doesn't make sense to the plot, because they don't show up as ghost hunters. They show up as the ministry.
Yeah. And no one will get the joke.
And no one there even mentioned that she referenced it. In fact, they kind of acted as if it never happened.
As it never did.
Which is what I would like to do. Yeah, this episode wasn't terrible. It was just kind of eh.
Yep. So, Journey to the Center of the TARDIS then.
Journey to the Center of the TARDIS. Already it submits to one trope that's happened a couple of times in Season 7, but it's also reliant upon another Moffat trope. So, by the time we got to Series 7, the Doctor has been set up as quite the badass.
Yes.
That people pretty much turn away and run from him.
Hmm.
And I had the same issue with Dinosaurs on a Spaceship, in that the Doctor is pitted against some low-life scavenger who doesn't go, "Oh shit, you're the Doctor? Whatever you want, sir!"
Uh-huh.
Because they should value their lives. But no, twice now, we have been given some low-life scavenger being pitted against the Doctor, who tried to walk all over him only to have their shit get fucked up.
But, like, with this case, didn't the Doctor, like, delete himself from history or something?
He stopped the whole incident from ever happening. Oh, you mean he tried to remove himself, but it failed, as established in Asylum of the Daleks. People still know who he is.
Right, yeah.
So the entire finale to series, the whole, sorry, what was that, the series 6 finale?
I think so.
Yeah, that all meant nothing.
Yeah.
It meant absolutely nothing.
As does a lot of things that happen in like Moffat era Doctor Who.
He does these gigantic world-changing things to the series and has them add up to absolutely dick.
Yep.
This goes back to my complaint before, that nothing in the current era of Doctor Who has any weight.
Yeah.
And, like, it's going to happen again with the fallout of Asylum of the Daleks. Yeah, I gotta say, there was a lot of foresight in that one, taking the most iconic enemy of Doctor Who and making them forget the Doctor exists. Really? You're not gonna retcon that later? You're totally gonna retcon that later.
Yeah, probably.
They'll find some bullshit way to do it. Because they'll want to bring the Daleks back. And yeah. As the developers of Portal discovered while making Portal 2 and originally not wanting the player to be Chell, when an audience meets an old enemy and there's no recognition, they are very disappointed. Even though we are not the Doctor, if the Daleks see the Doctor and they do not recognize him, we will feel disappointed.
Yeah. Did it sound like that with the Cybermen recently?
I didn't know that. I haven't watched the end of the season yet.
Yeah, the Cybermen episode.
Iconic enemies of the Doctor that they've done that to now?
Well, it's not so much that like they didn't recognize him, it's that they didn't really acknowledge him. Like the entire episode, it has a really cool concept of the Cybermen like greater intelligence like starting to encroach on the Doctors, and so like the two of them having like so the Doctor being both like the head of the Cybermen and the Doctor like fighting the same body. It's a kind of cool concept. But then things happen. It's stupid. They also bring back the gold thing. Yeah, one of the original Cybermen weaknesses was gold.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and so he fights him off with Willy Wonka, basically. The fucking golden...
Anyway, so back to Journey to the Center of the TARDIS.
Why do I keep watching New Doctor Who?
I don't know. I think it's because I did fall in love with the series early on, and I have to keep watching it in the hopes that it will get better.
And then it keeps not getting better.
No, it doesn't get better.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
It hasn't been getting worse recently, at least. It's just kind of kept on the same mediocre plane.
Yeah, it's kept in the same level of just...
By the way, if I'm ever talking to someone who calls themselves a Doctor Who fan, if they say one of two things, I will mentally table flip. One, I really like Series 7. Two, Martha Jones is my favorite companion.
Yeah, what was her big thing that she did? She walked. She just, like, the Doctor was fucking in a cage, looking like fucking Dobby. And what'd she do? She just walked.
She would do very well in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Put it with Frodo and Samwise. They might have something to fuck other than each other. Anyway, Journey to the Center of the TARDIS.
Back on topic.
God damn it. Well, hey, at least we'll break an hour with this episode.
So yeah, there was quite a number of things where things that happened previously in Doctor Who are shit all over.
Mm-hmm.
For example, opening the TARDIS console. We saw this twice. Once with Eccleston. Once with Tennant. Sorry, no, both times with Eccleston, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And It is established. You open that up, you see the heart of the TARDIS, which will do terrible things. If
yes.
you are a Raskorgal Falbatorian, it will revert you into an egg. If you are Rose Tyler, it will infect you and turn you into God.
And then kill you if Christopher Eccleston doesn't suck it out of you.
Yeah, and then kill you.
Yeah. It's all kinds of shit. But this one is just this. It's like fucking Legos.
Oh, there's hallways just down here.
Yeah. Wait, in the console?
Yeah, they climbed down into the console and found hallways. There was a ladder down there.
They climbed under the console, not into it.
You know, it was close enough to the console panels, but
like there was a ladder.
Like under
ladder
that console should be glowy shit instead of a maintenance hatch.
Yeah, but so and there's other thing. Like the big, well, the bad guy this time is basically the crew. Like it's the doctor. It's like the doctor, Clara, and two salvage guys who got fused together because like the heart of the TARDIS exploded or something. Like the Art of Harmony blew up or something and it fused them together and turned them into weird lava zombies. Like, one, what the fuck?
Yeah, what the fuck?
And two, so there's one scene where, well, so just, there, so basically there's three salvage guys who are trying to strip the TARDIS. One of them gets killed. The other two are left alive. And then they're being chased by three lava zombies. One's a female, one's a male. The other two are males. Two males fused together. So they kill that one, and then all of a sudden they are tracked together by magnets, and then they just turn into the thing, which makes no sense. That thing was a future version of them after the Eye of Harmony exploded. So why would killing the future version of them cause the past version of them to turn into the future version of them?
I didn't think that killing it was the cause.
Like, that's what they said. They said, like, that's what they said. Like, they did, like, they killed the thing, and then the doctor was like, oh god, it's dead, don't touch each other.
No, he was saying that before it was dead. He's like, if you don't touch each other, we change that future so that the thing doesn't exist.
And the second it dies, they're just like, vroom.
No, when it died, one of them fell off the railing, and the other one went to save him. And in pulling him up, they were touching. They were also in there too long and got fused together.
It doesn't make any more sense when you actually tell me what actually happened.
Oh, it still makes no sense. It's just you're looking at it wrong.
Yes, but I was being incredulous about the wrong things.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it makes no fucking sense whatsoever. Like, if you stop the thing, if you stop the Eye of Harmony from exploding, then that thing isn't created anyway. It's why?
And then, I don't like what the Eye of Harmony. I don't like the Eye of Harmony being there, but the fact that he refers to that as the heart of the TARDIS,
which it isn't.
The Doctor has referred to the heart of the TARDIS before. It's that glowy bit under the console that will turn you into God.
Yeah. The Eye of Harmony, isn't it like the engine of the TARDIS?
It's the engine, not the heart. And then apparently there's another heart of the TARDIS that's like a white room with parts. That I don't really understand.
And then there's the magic science tree.
I remember what they ripped off. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Okay.
With the whole, it's a visual trick, there's no actual cliff, we have to jump.
Okay, yeah. But then also just, with what I was saying earlier about Clara realizing, like, getting revealed huge important plot details, and then forgetting them immediately because of bullshit. She learns the doctor's name, because the doctor just happens to have a book lying around that has his name in it. And also, she just happens to open the book to the exact page that she needs to, which this is something that's always pissed me off in anything whatsoever. So what happens is Clara is walking around. She gets to the library and then she sees a book. It's like the history of the Time War.
Yeah, the history of the Time War.
Yeah, so then she just walks up to it and then opens it up to a random page. Not the beginning of the book, not where there's like a fucking leaflet thing in there marking a page. Just opens it up to a random page. When have you ever done that with a book?
Once. And I felt amazing.
It is... It's something that pisses me off so much. Just so goddamn much. If you're going to read a book that has a history of anything, you start at the beginning. You don't just jump into the middle of it. It is fucking retarded.
Okay. I also have to mention why that book shouldn't have his name. And I'm going to use very logical thinking here. The history of the Time War must be written by a Time Lord, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Presumably the Doctor, because he's the only one left.
I'm about to get to that. If it's a full history of the Time War, it must have been written by one of the remaining Time Lords after the Time War, correct?
Yes.
The only remaining Time Lords after the Time War were the Doctor and the Master, considering that the Master was in a state of not knowing he was the Master, it must have been written by the Doctor.
Yes.
Why did the Doctor write his real name if he doesn't even like the fact that that name exists?
Because fuck you. Yeah, the entire fucking thing is idiotic.
It was a lazily written plot point with no payoff.
Yeah, and also, so how did she actually know that the name she was looking at was actually the Doctor's name? Correct me if I'm wrong, but there was more than one Time Lord involved in the Time War.
Yeah, there was all of them.
Yeah, so just opens the book, unless it said, the Doctor, whose real name is this. Then how would she know that the name that she saw was actually the Doctor's real name? She could have been seeing the real name of the Master, or the real name of Timothy Dalton, or the real name of the Janitor. Who is probably the most awesome Time Lord of them all.
She was seeing the real name of the Corsair.
It's just... None of that... That entire scene, none of it made any sense.
And it served no purpose.
Yes, because at the end of the episode, time gets rewritten so that none of this ever happened.
Actually, because I'm sorry. I know what purpose it served. It was put in the trailer for the episode so that people would watch it.
Yeah, because as we all know, something as big as the Doctor's name will be revealed in the middle of the season. That's what happens. You know, they wouldn't wait till the episode called The Name of the Doctor.
Which I'm guessing also doesn't reveal it.
Nope.
Because Stephen Moffat, once again, wants to set up giant, big changes, but is afraid to do anything that will actually have any weight to it.
Yep, instead of learning the Doctor's name, we have the holographic ghost of River Song say it where no one can hear it except the Doctor and his TARDIS. Which is the size of a fucking building now.
So you're gonna love another big issue. I have another big issue with Journey to the Center of the TARDIS.
Mm.
So these guys, the bad guys, they are there to salvage parts.
Yes.
And the one guy finds the thing that the TARDIS uses to grow whatever it needs.
The magic tree.
And instead of saying, "Hey doctor, we'll work perfectly hard to help you get her, if you make us, you know, maybe a couple hundred parts with this tree thing."
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he takes a part of it that he doesn't even know if it will have the same properties, just takes one small part of it, pissing off the TARDIS, and challenging it to a fight.
Yeah, he's the smart one. And these people are horrible. Like, really, like, these salvagers are horrible people.
They're also horrible at being salvagers.
Oh, yeah, totally. They're horrible at everything they do. But they're especially horrible because they turned their brother into a subservient cyborg.
Except they don't actually turn him into a cyborg.
Nope. because they're idiots. Big, 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 colossal, stupid idiots.
You know what's great about Dr. Retconning all of that? Now he doesn't know. He still thinks he's an android now.
Yep. You could have just swung by and said, hey guys, guess what? You're human. Peace.
Yeah.
He's something. He's done stuff similar to that before.
For some reason, the one guy remembers that he should decide to have a shred of decency.
Yeah. Because, you know, plot. I guess. This episode was retarded.
Yeah, it really was. During neither of these episodes was I excited or laughing or anything like that. I was just sort of watching.
Yeah, it was.
Which is a far cry from when I used to watch Doctor Who.
Like, before, Doctor Who was, like, fun and exciting. Things were happening. And now it's just kind of a routine. It's kind of, oh, hey, look, it's Saturday at 8 p.m. I better watch Doctor Who. Look, TARDIS noises. They're not even really boring. They're just kind of there. They serve no purpose. They aren't engaging or exciting or anything. They just kind of exist. So anyway, anything else to say about Journey to the Center?
No, I'm just taking bets on what the next Weeping Angel gimmick is going to be.
They now can affect buildings.
Because remember, Stephen Moffat created them. You can never forget that Stephen Moffat created them, because he will continue to remind you.
Yep. They're now going to be, I could be weeping fucking, like, dog statues. Or, like, they're going to be action figures next. It's going to be just fucking, like some kid's going to be, like, sitting in his bedroom one day, like, playing with his action figures, and all of a sudden one's going to, like, move toward him a bit. And then he's going to move it toward a bit more closer, and then they just start forming into angels. But like, if it's like an angel with the paint job of Optimus Prime. Yep, Optimus right. Angel.
I don't know if I gave like a very good view of what Journey to the Center of the TARDIS is, other than bad, but I don't think I have much else to say.
Journey to the Center of the TARDIS is just... It raises more questions than it answers, never explains any of them, and then tries its best to erase those questions by resetting time by a couple hours. But yeah, so that's what we've been watching then. On to news. So first bit of news. At the Xbox One reveal for Microsoft, Microsoft's Nancy Tellem and 343 Industries' Bonnie Ross announced that they'll be making a TV live-action Halo TV series for Xbox Live and possibly other places, with Steven Spielberg signed on as executive producer.
Cool.
Yeah. We learned nothing of what the series will actually be. Steven Spielberg just said, hey guys, video games. See ya.
Not cool.
Yeah. So we have no idea, like, where people, like, if it's going to be going on any TV networks, when it'll be coming out, who'll be in it, what it'll be about, anything. But they did mention Forward Unto Dawn, so maybe it'll be similar to that, hopefully, because that series is pretty good. They had pretty great CG work in it, pretty good practical effects stuff. Action was decent enough.
I liked their Master Chief.
Yeah, the Master Chief was good. But yeah. So now we have three new cast members for Guardians of the Galaxy. So first up, we have John C. Reilly, who's been offered the role of Roman Day, a guy who's basically the ambassador between the Guardians of the Galaxy and S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
Yeah, so Day apparently is going to be would be acting as a kind of Agent Coulson for the Guardians. But, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, next up, Coulson,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. Next up, we have Glenn Close as the head of the Nova Corps. For those who don't know, Novas are kind of the Marvel Universe equivalent of the Green Lantern Corps. They're basically space cops. And so Glenn Close is the chief of space police.
I have no comments on this.
Yeah, I don't even know, dude. And then moving on to something you might have comments on, Karen Gillan has signed on for the movie.
As
the female lead villain. Yes.
I don't know if villain is a good role.
Nor do I. But hey, we get what we can. And she's not bad.
No, she's quite good. I'm just not sure how well she'll do as a villain.
Yeah. But I guess we'll see on August 1st in 2014 when the movie comes out. But all of this, just all of fucking this, is just constantly pissing me off with the fact that we still don't know who the fuck Rocket Raccoon is.
There have been some guesses. Some interesting guesses.
Like, seriously, we learned that Cruella de Vil was the chief of space helmet Green Lanterns, and we don't know who the fuck one of the main fucking pulls of the movie is. Pisses me off.
He'll be last to be announced.
Of course he will. Like the first trailer for...
with Karen Gillan as the villain, it makes it totally even better to have David Tennant as Rocket Raccoon.
Yes.
Just really two cool Scots just battling out on a galactic scale.
Like, I am more Scottish than you know. I am more Scottish than you know. I am more Scottish than ye. He pulls out a rocket launcher. That shoots haggis. Yeah. So moving on to our final piece of news, because we don't have very much news this week. So Michael Green, the co-writer of Green Lantern, is in negotiations to work on the Blade Runner sequel.
I've never seen Blade Runner, but I was not aware it needed a sequel.
Nor was I, but, you know, people are making it. The sequel is going to be directed by the guy who directed the original, Ridley Scott.
Well, that's
and
good.
And Hampton Fancher, whatever the fuck I that guy's name, he was the guy who wrote the original movie. He also wrote the initial draft of the sequel. And I guess Michael Green's going to be coming in to write like the second or third draft or whatever the fuck they're on now. So far what's known about the movie is very limited. Basically that'll be set up several years after the events of the original movie. And that's all we know right now. Oh yeah, so Michael Green has also been working on some other stuff recently. Like he, on top of working on writing the Green Lantern, which was shit, he's also working on the new Flash movie and the new Fantastic Four movie, because apparently those are things. And he was also completed rewrites on Steven Spielberg's shelved sci-fi film, Robopocalypse. Which I want it to be made, damn it.
I'd like to see a Flash movie.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
If it's done well.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it probably won't be.
As long as it's not Green Lantern again.
Yeah. Hopefully. And hey, maybe get Michael Rosenbaum to be the Flash. I mean, he was the Flash in the animated series, and he kind of looks like the Flash. If you give him hair. That could work, you know. Maybe.
Or you could properly cast someone who looks like the Flash and kind of sounds like the Flash.
So Michael Rosenbaum. He was the Flash. Anyway, moving on. So, that's for news. On to new releases. So for this week, the week of May 31st, because this movie came out yesterday, we have the newest cinematic train wreck from M. Night Shyamalan, After Earth. So.
Oh, I didn't even realize After Earth was an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, M. Night Shaka Khan is still working, apparently. So anyway, this film, a crash landing leaves teenager Katai Rage and his legendary father Cypher stranded on Earth 1,000 years after cataclysmic events force humanity's escape. When Cypher critically injured, Katai must embark on a perilous journey to signal for help. Facing uncharted territory, evolved animal species that now rule the planet, and an unstoppable alien creature that escaped during the crash. Father and son must learn to work together and trust one another if they want a chance of returning home.
By the way, you'll totally believe the father-son interactions.
Because they are played by father and son.
It's the Smiths.
Yeah. And also, Will Smith's character name, Cypher Rage. Cypher Rage.
How the fuck do you get a family name of Rage, and who the hell names their kid Cypher?
It's the future! And also, weird thing. According to Movie Bob, anyway, this film was actually based on a script idea written by Will Smith. And Will Smith is cast in it as the, basically, god figure. He is the, like, legendary super soldier who everyone should, like, strive to be. And his son is constantly, like, trying to live up to that legacy. You know, this movie looks retarded. It looks so bad.
And so he wrote the script and took it to M. Night Shyamalan of the Dead?
Yeah.
To film this? What the hell?
Yeah, and also, apparently, also something I learned from that review, Will Smith actually turned down the lead role of Django Unchained so that he could work with M. Night Shyamalan.
Wow, that seems like a very poor career choice.
It really is.
Quentin Tarantino or M. Night... Fuck, I can't think of a good shut up.
Yeah. So, award-winning director who's worked on, like, worked dozens of fantastic films and has been consistently pretty good in his career, or M. Night Sanheiser, the guy who made The Last Airbender. One of the worst movies of 2011. Yeah. M. Night Samsung, you have yourself a leading actor.
So, other than M. Night Sam-I-Am, what do we have to talk about? Well, what's our next piece of news?
Yeah, our next movie is Now You See Me. So, Now You See Me pits an elite FBI squad in a game of cat and mouse against the Four Horsemen, a super team of the world's greatest illusionists. The Four Horsemen pull off a series of daring heists against corrupt business leaders during their performances, showering the stolen profits on their audiences while staying one step ahead of the law.
Sounds like a cool concept.
Yeah, apparently it didn't pan out too well, because right now Rotten Tomatoes has a 43.
Ew.
Yeah. Now You See Me is thinly stretched. Now You See Me's thinly stretched characters and scatter plot rely on directional sleight of hand to distract audiences. And director Louis Leterrier lacks sufficient cinematic prestidigitation to pull it off in the final act. I love reading critic things like that. But yeah, this is like one of those movies that I actually saw the trailer for a while ago and thought they could have been really cool.
Yeah, I believe I saw a trailer for it as well. I thought this could be cool. It probably won't be.
Yeah, like Jesse Eisenberg's in it, and he is okay in things. Also, it's Woody Harrelson. Who's Woody fucking Harrelson? But instead, it's apparently not that great. But it could have been cool, man. It could have just been like the fucking weird things with magic and everything.
And yeah, generally, if you've got a movie about magicians, I'm in.
Yeah. Magicians are cool. Like bow ties.
Magicians with bow ties? Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Note to self, bow tie.
Guess we're moving on to our final movie for this week, The Kings of Summer. So, premiering to rave reviews at the 2013 Sundance Film Festival, The Kings of Summer is a unique coming-of-age comedy about three teenagers, Joe, Patrick, and the eccentric and unpredictable Biagio, who in the ultimate act of independence decide to spend their summer building a house in the woods and living off the land. Free from their parents' rules, their idyllic summer quickly becomes a test of friendship as each boy learns to appreciate the fact that family, whether it is the one you're born into or the one you create, is something you can't run away from. Yeah, it
sounds a bit uplifting for my tastes.
You know that movie with teenagers? It's like that one.
It's that one.
Yeah, but apparently it's good. Like, this is the highest rated movie coming out this week. Well, aside from like the History of the Future People, which is something I don't even want to get into because I don't even know what the fuck that is. But yeah. Yeah, it's dudes dressed up the guys from like fucking Devo with guitars. Moving on to our next piece. Moving on to next week, the week of June 7th. We have coming out The Internship. So, Wedding Crashers duo Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn reteam on the Sean Levy directed comedy about two out of work salesmen who have to compete as interns in a tech company in order to score a job. Rated PG-13.
Do you know how much I liked The Wedding Crashers?
Not very.
I didn't. The only reviews I heard about it for months after it was released was, it's got beebs! and then eventually someone got me to watch it, and I'm like, there's not even that many boobs in this.
Yeah. Plus, like, we live in the age of the internet. You don't have to go to movies to get boobs anymore.
No, you do not.
And apparently, 98% of audiences want to see this.
98% of audiences are normal people, which makes them dumb.
Fuck normal people. So moving on to our next movie, The Purge. So, if on one night every year you commit a crime without facing consequences, what would you do? In The Purge, a speculative thriller that follows one family over the course of a single night, four people will be tested to see how far they will go to protect themselves from the victims with the vicious outside world breaks into their home. In America racked by crime and overcrowded prisons, the government has sanctioned an annual 12-hour period in which any and all criminal activity, including murder, becomes legal. The police cannot be called. The hospitals suspend help. It's one night when the citizenry regulates itself without thought of punishment. On this night, plagued by violence and an epidemic of crime, one family wrestles with the decision of who they will become when a stranger comes knocking. When an intruder breaks into James Sandin's gated community during the yearly lockdown, he begins a sequence of events that threatens to tear his family apart. Now it is up to James, his wife Mary, and their kids to make it through the night without turning into the monsters from whom they hide. Directed by James DeMonaco, writer of Assault and Precinct 13 and The Negotiator, The Purge is produced by Jason Blum of Blumhouse, which made Paranormal Activity, Insidious, and Sinister, and Platinum Dunes!
Oh, yay, Platinum Dunes! I gotta say, while the concept of this sounds really cool, I believe they're misunderstanding what would happen if you made all crime legal for 12 hours. Here's what would happen. Most people who seriously commit crimes would either do them very discreetly or just lay low for those 12 hours because a few idiots would go around trying to create chaos. Yes. And that would quickly be killed by the citizens who just want some goddamn quiet. There wouldn't be chaos everywhere.
Nope.
If you tried to be an agent of chaos, you'd be shot in the fucking head.
Yeah.
Sorry, but as much as people like to believe it, if we were given total anarchy right now, we wouldn't want the chaos. People don't want chaos.
Yeah.
It's just a few idiots who want the chaos. And if all the other people around have license to put a bullet in your brain to stop it, they will.
Yep. Yeah,
there would be like a couple of, like, there'd be people who plan all year for this and be like, we're going to be the neighborhood watch and fucking put some caps in asses.
Yeah.
You would end up coming against highly organized civilian groups who follow no rules and just put down any crime they come across. So no chaos.
Like, yeah, like, it sounds like every community, there'd be a sign that says, hey, we got guns, fuck off. Which, honestly, I'd actually like to see that. I'd just to see, like, fucking armed militias walking up and down the cul-de-sac.
It's like, just, well, that was the most peaceful 12 hours ever, because the police got to deal with a shit ton of red tape, and we can just shoot motherfuckers.
Yeah. It's like, wow,
guys, we should do this again next year. We can bring the crime rates down together, right?
Yeah. I'd imagine, like, the first night that it happens, though, there'd be, like, a, did you see the pool, they flipped the bitch scenes a couple times, right, like, various cities. But, like, as time went on, it would, like the first time they'd realize, oh, fuck, this is really horrible. Next year comes around, they'd be like, all right, no one's fucking doing anything.
Yeah, the first year would be chaos, yeah, but even then, it would get itself under control pretty quickly, because once again, you know what? People want to fucking sleep.
Yeah.
End of the day, your grouchy neighbor wants to kill you if you're being noisy, and if you're going to be noisy during the 12 hours when he can kill you, it's probably going to kill you.
Yeah, but I can imagine just during that 12 hours, there'll be a lot of really petty, like, kills. It's like, your dog shit in my lawn 120 times, motherfucker. Boom. It's like, I don't like the wind. I don't like your curtains. Boom.
But also, I believe that the film also looks wrong at criminals. Like, oh, there's criminals out. They'll just attack anybody. Not the majority of criminals. They generally have motive. There are psychopaths out there, but their numbers are lower than the criminals with motives.
Yeah, they aren't actually saying that these are all criminals. They are saying these are people. These are just dudes. Like, these are guys from, like, a gated community who just kind of, like, show up one night and say, hey, guess what? We ought to kill someone. Let them the fuck out of here. We'll kill all y'all. It's not a very well thought out concept. But anyway, moving on to our final movie coming out next week, Much Ado About Nothing. So, Shakespeare's classic comedy is given a contemporary spin in Joss Whedon's film, Much Ado About Nothing. Shot in just 12 days and using the original text, the story of sparring lovers Beatrice and Benedict, and it offers a dark, sexy, and occasionally absurd view of the intricate game that is love. So yeah, it's Shakespeare as brought to you by Nathan Fillion and Joss Whedon.
Well, I'm going to have to watch that.
With Agent Coulson.
I'm going to have to watch that.
And that British guy from Buffy who isn't Giles. Or Spike.
Yeah, I like Shakespeare, I like Nathan Fillion, I like Joss Whedon, so I'm going to have to see that.
Yeah, Shakespeare for me is weird in that it can be entertaining, but sometimes it just takes too much brain power to actually work. But this seems like something that I could get behind. You see, I'm kind of stupid. And so while I can understand Shakespeare for the most part, it takes time. Time I'm not sure I'll have with the movie. But given the chance, I will see this movie. Because come on,
coming soon,
Whedon.
Shakespeare month.
My pick: Romeo and Juliet.
What?
It's a trauma movie where Lemmy from Motorhead is the narrator. Romeo and Juliet survive, and Juliet gets turned into a cow. Oh yeah, and their brother.
I pick BBC and, Hamlet starring
and their
David
brother,
Tennant.
And their brother and sister, too. Romeo and Juliet are brother and sister.
Once again, BBC Hamlet starring David Tennant.
I'll probably pick, if we do that, I'll probably pick something by Kenneth Branagh. He seems to be good at Shakespeare. I think, from what I heard from Owen Citizen. Anyway.
By the way, that particular Hamlet is like 3 hours long.
Yeah, I tried to watch it once. I got up to the part where the guards see Hamlet's dad, and I was like, I have something better to do. Mainly to procrastinate from doing anything, really.
Yeah.
It was like, I could watch Hamlet, or I could watch YouTube. YouTube. The cat fell over. So anyway, that's going to do it for this week. Thank you all for joining us, and hopefully you managed to make it through. As always, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us at DestoProds. I am at Deadman underscore Dita Prods, and we have at Bubby on here. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/DestoProds. Subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/DestoProds, Vince myself, and youtube.com/BubbyWan for Bubby. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, leave some reviews, let us know when you want to see more of us, etc. And we are also on Stitcher, so download the app and check us out on there. And finally, we are on DeviantArt, so go on over to destoprods.deviantart.com and check out some cosplay photos and stuff from Anime North, which I still have some to upload. As well, they're also on the Facebook page if you're interested in looking at them. So this week on the website, we're going to be having the Anything Cast Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern, longgames.com/chat. Please join us. We'd love to hear what you guys think about what we're doing with the site and everything. There we'll be having games next Tuesday, anime next Thursday, as well as the anime club wrapping up Angel Beats. So take a look at episodes 11, 12, and 13. Then we'll be starting off Bad Remake Month next Friday as we take a look at the remake of Total Recall with Colin Farrell.
And no Mars.
Get your ass to Australia. Doesn't have the same ring to it.
Is it Space Australia?
Nope, it's just Australia.
Space Australia!
It's not Space Australia. Oh, how I wish it was
Space
Australia.
In my mind, it is.
I really hope we run into Jackson Space Australia. That'd be great. Fucking just red Space Australia and his French cousin. Because, yeah, he has a French cousin. And you saw the Cooler movie special. Anyway. Yeah, so be sure to check back at the site every day for news, possibly reviews, and video stuff. I'm gonna be jumping back to video stuff. I'm gonna be doing a video of Fracture soon. I got a video from James in the can ready to upload. So that'd be cool.
I'll be getting my video content coming back to some extent soon. It's going to be reduced because I am working on other large scale video projects for other people.
Yep.
But you'll see that stuff.
Yes.
I'll be sure to share it.
Yeah. But until all that stuff we're doing, I'm the Deadman.
I'm Bovi Wong.
We will see you guys next time.